Tuesday, the 12th of June, Rabbi Emanuel Yosef Legomsky, Practical Methods to Upgrade Midas Successfully.
We just had a lecture. I wasn't meriting to hear the end of because someone had to speak to me outside, but I heard that the basic matter was the idea of what we call Omed Al Das Rabo, that 40 years it takes a person to really understand what they're hearing. Rabbi Chait in Jerusalem, who's the head of Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva, once told me a few years back that he sees as the years progress, and he has an extremely good background in Pinuch, Rabbi Chait. He says he sees that he speaks Divrei Musar and less people are able to hear or place the relevancy to their own process. And the idea of 40 years also translates to the other halacha that I heard, which is, well, how did he do it when he only lived to be that age? Because the makom sheino ish, it says in the place where there isn't a man, so you have to be a man. So I'd like to translate that, because I always believe in utilizing what's present. That was the supreme principle of Dr. Milton Erickson, the psychiatrist who was the hypnotherapist of our times, and one of the people I truly look up to in my profession. His principle of utilization is you always start with exactly what's present. You're in the Dalet Amos of the place where you are. I'm in your shul, I'm in Golders Green, and I just heard a shiur that was, well, I heard it, a beautiful shiur, about this principle, that we are all needing to be the manhig, the leader, in our own process. And halavai, it should take us only 40 years. But internally, Judaism has a unique model that we have one king. And even that, the Shemi Shmuel says from the Katzke Rebbe in Shemi Shmuel, that the concept of kingship in Judaism was stolen from Edom, because we don't have such a concept of an ego deflecting from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And of course, when one person stands out and the focus is only on him, just as there's a speaker right now, so that's an opportunity for the ego to get away from us and to feel some kind of self-importance and to let that deflect from the main issue, which is that everything points to Hashem and how we become better servants, which is about governing the processes. And that's why I'll take the halacha I heard, which is that we have to gain control of the city. And that's our own internal process as well. So how do we do that? So it's related to Parshas Korach, and it's very interesting that I found in the Parsha this week that all this stuff in the world about Jews being interested in other things, particularly we see our youth interested in the Eastern things, like Zen Buddhism seems to be popular in the world today. There's a lot of Buddhist Jews, unfortunately, and all kinds of Chinese things. So in Parshas Korach, we're going to see how everything comes from the Torah. And we're going to see from the Toldos Adam from 150 years ago, who was the Biala Rebbe then. I happen to be a chassid of the Biala Rebbe, Rav Ben-Zion Rabinovich from Lugano, Switzerland. His great-great-grandfather, the Toldos Adam, shows us how in Parshas Korach there is an Lahavdil, Elif Havdalas. I don't want to say that Korach had any relationship to that, because we're talking about Gedolim. And in fact, I had the great privilege, many years of learning by Rav Chaim Dov Altusky in Torah Or in Jerusalem, the son-in-law of Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg. And Rav Chaim Dov should be healthy. Rav Chaim Dov ben Chai Ruchama should be healthy. I once remember in his afternoon Musar Shmuz on Novi, in between Sedarim, at that time there was a great machlokas and Klal Yisrael going on between the Lubavitcher Rebbe and Rav Shach, two tzaddikim, who we don't understand because we're little people, aren't we? And there was a raging machlokas going on, and Rav Chaim Dov, who is Litvak Shiva Litvak, and I also, by the way, my grandparents came from Vilna to America in about 1911. Rav Chaim Dov said, you know, many years ago, in the late 1600s, early 1700s, was a raging machlokas between Rav Yaakov Emden and Rav Yonis and Ibishit. And it turned out in the end, they were both Kedoshim. However, in the middle, Rav Chaim Dov told us that every single one of the Talmidim that got involved in the machlokas died of Misa Mishuna. They died before their time. So the message was, Rav Chaim Dov was saying, I don't know on my level, and he's written on all of Shas and everything, the Iyun. So I don't know what they're really arguing about on the highest level. I know, though, it must be true for both of them because they're tzaddikim. And I know there's a real point here. And I also know that it's not my job to get involved. However, what we can govern is our own process. And so I'm going to show you how I see all this Zen Buddhism stuff that kids are into is right in Parshas Korach. Again, that's not their machlokas. But we can see one point from that. And the point I really want to make in this shiur that we're going to have is a very, very simple one, so let's say it from the beginning. And that is that I have noticed in my life, and I'm 50 years old today, B'liah and Hara with quite a large family. My youngest turns 2 tomorrow. Our oldest is 24, and there are a lot in between, boys and girls, is that my own personal struggle has been one of taking the nidus that I was born with, a difficult personality. My wife, who's on the other side right over there, can verify that. And I'm doing the best with the resources that I have to improve my resources and to b'makom she'eino ish, in a place where there's not a man. I'm talking about me and my internal process. Become a man. Take the reins, even if you haven't been working on it 40 years consciously. So how do we do that? That's the point. Because my profession is a physiological psychologist. I am a rabbi also. However, my parnasa is I'm a private therapist, and I run an organization called Israel Trauma Care, which I have a whole book full of a number of our accomplishments here, which you can look at, and I have my cards here, which you can look at, and I have a brochure that came out about a year ago here. We are probably the only really Haredi structured organization in Israel that is right there in the front line. I was personally invited by the premier trauma center in Kiryat Shmona, who's seen the most action, run by a secular Jew, very fine Jew named Muli Lahad, Dr. Muli Lahad, the grandfather of trauma work in Israel during the last war, to bring staff up to spot. They actually offered us a few northern cities, and I chose Haifa because I didn't want to work with people that looked like me, but I was given spot. And I walked into the city building to the city psychologists who were secular, and they were instructed to learn from me what I knew. I had one staff member I wanted to take women up to, but it just wasn't appropriate because the missiles were falling. And we were taken around to a group of reserve soldiers, about 40, 50 soldiers, and we caught them, because they had to daily go into bomb shelters and work with people, and they were guys from Rishon LeZion in Tel Aviv, and they were more uncomfortable than the locals, to tell you the truth, in doing their job, which was to go into bomb shelters, people who had been there for weeks, and help service them. And we worked in the bomb shelters with many people that didn't look like us at all, and we worked with an Ethiopian absorption center, and we did a special English seminar in the Old City, under the Chabad Center there inside as the missiles were falling. And you can see a 12.5-minute film of that on our website, IsraelTraumaCare.org. I also have a few business card CDs of that, but that's right up there on the web. So that's my profession. So I have spent much of my adult life, in addition to being 15 years in yeshiva, in researching what are the proper resources for the how. The what we all know. We all know that we all have, in some sense, difficult habit patterns, difficult personality attributes, difficult communication patterns that we'd all like to change, wouldn't we? And in fact, that's the first question I ask anybody who comes to my office. What did you come to change? What would you like to change? Because if someone's paying me money and spending their time, I don't want that I'm talking to them in a way that their best friend, their wife, or somebody else they know much better than me could do much better for them without the expenditure and the time investment. And what I've unfortunately seen, without downgrading anything, is that much of the psychology in the world today is a lot of good empathy, but missing techniques that acknowledge the basic reality that as human beings, we're built in many ways by computers. And anybody who knows computers today knows you need an operating system, often Windows, or if you have Mac, it's something else. You need an antivirus setup, because viruses get in, and they're not logical, by the way, are they? Just like fear is not logical. But you need a specific program to go in there and neutralize them. It's a how. It's not talking about it. It gets into that virus, and how do we get it cleaned out? I need to clean it out. And many of our habit patterns are unfortunately that way, aren't they? We just go into automatic pilot and miscommunication patterns. And a typical one in Shalom Bias that I see all the time, and my wife works with me, she's here today, and she and I are today trainers in fact, we're the head of the only place in the world where there's a Haredi Jew who is the head of licensing for the energy psychology techniques called Emotional Freedom Techniques, which is why I'm here in London today on a conference. Also TAT, also we are NLP, about to be NLP trainers, actually. We're master practitioners at this moment. We're master hypnotherapists, and we've done a lot of other things. We specialize in tools that actually work in order to train you to empower change, that you can affect changing habit patterns that in many cases are in the understrata of the way you operate on automatic pilot. So in seeing that, I want to take that to Parshas Korach, and I want to relate it back to the Toldos Adam's version of what the Machlokas is. And it's a very interesting idea, because you have all of these stories in Judaism are all metaphors. And in fact, Milton Erickson, in the end of his life, he was the master hypnotherapist and psychiatrist, but all he did was tell stories in the end of his life. He would help people change on the spot by talking about tomato patches and how they grew, because metaphor is a very powerful medium. And so that's how we have to learn to see the stories of the Chumash as well. The metaphor of Noah not doing his job, which was he did not pray like he should have, like Abraham and Moshe prayed for the Jewish people even when they did everything wrong. What's going on over there? It's actually the same metaphor with Korach and Moshe. Korach said, Kulam Kadoshim, Al Tisnas. What does that mean? Well, the word Kadosh, as the Maral points out on many occasions, means Nivdal, which means separate. We are separate. And the way that Toldos Adam 150 years ago determined, he interpreted that is amazing, in light of what everybody's talking about in the last 20 years or 30 years since quantum physics has the reality that the observer intimately is entwined and affects the observed data. And that is, Kedoshim means be separate from your ego. Whatever happens to you is from God, said Korach. It's from God. Accept it. Don't mess around with it. Kulo Techeles. The Talmud, Kulo Techeles. Why do we need any love on? Well, we know that Techeles is Midos Adin. It reminds us to put us on the right track. It's just like a good wife. You're Poreach Ba'avir. You're up in the clouds. Get down on earth. You got to do your job, man. You got kids to take care of. You got this. You got that. Be rooted on the ground. Midos Adin's function is boundaries, to provide the framework for progress. So Korach was saying that what you get is what you got. God is giving you exactly what you needed, and don't think otherwise. Even Max Ehrlich said that. We have that on our refrigerator at home. Max Ehrlich was, if I'm not mistaken, he was, along with Albert Einstein, one of the progenitors of the atom bomb, a physicist. With a name like Max Ehrlich, he also must have been Jewish, huh? The universe is unfolding exactly as it should, he said, whether you know it or not. Hashgacha pratis. So Korach was saying, Al tis nasu, tis batel. Don't rise yourself above. You think you know better than God? Moshe? Your ego tells you to mess around with God to pray for a change? Who are you? And he had 250 of his Sanhedrin with him. He was a powerful man, Korach. Tadi ketamar yifrach, sofei tevos, Korach. And Moshe saw by Nadav Avihu and Korach that these are such great neshamas. He said, my neshama is not as big as that. Now the Torah seems to say that's true, but of course it could have been his humility. We know he was the most humble person in the world. And remember, if Moshe were up here speaking, he would be speaking like this. And he wasn't embarrassed because he knew he was in his tafki. By us, the word simcha is a toar, it's an adjective. Sameach bechelko. Unless you're bechelko, you're not the simcha. And to be bechelko is to be besimcha. When you're doing your job, what you were uniquely made to do, then you will be besimcha. And if not, there's no chance for it. It's like chasing money or anything else. The more you chase it, the more you need it. And you'll never get enough. That's love too, by the way, which is the main commodity, isn't it? If you're chasing it, you're not going to get it. Ratzim, yeshto mana ratzim matayim, says in the Sfarim. So, the main point is that Korach said to Moshe, nullify your ego to what God gives you and don't mess around with it. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, uh-uh. One thread of Techelus, that's it. We need to be reminded to keep on track. Midas Hadin. However, as my Rebbe brings in Tchiyas Amesim, the Hakdama for Rav Tzadok HaKohen, the Tanai to progress, the condition of progress in this world is that after you believe in God, says Rav Tzadok, you have to believe in yourself. Because if you don't, you can't progress. And you need simcha for that. The three principles of healing are emunah instead of yush, simcha instead of atzvus, and ayin tova, good thinking, and a good eye for other people rather than the opposite, kina, sina, all these things. So in line with that, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure though, because he was so humble. So he had to set up a condition that there'll be a new creation and you'll get swallowed up if you're wrong. And it happened. So he was verified. But his humility was so great. You know, Korach was accusing him of being a Baal Gaiva. You're messing around with Hashem, you were given this and you're praying for something else. Time after time, Slav and Mon and all these things, you're petitioning God and you're saying, Machani no, wipe me out but save the Jewish people after the Chet HaEgel. That's not the right way, says Korach. And in fact, we see that it is the right way. Because Hashem wants our good. He wants all good. And that's what this creation is about. We are midaber, we're communicating beings. We're here to communicate, to learn how to communicate. Love is the essential commodity. And it translates through our tradition to very specific laws and rules and a framework of how to set up your life so you can become the kind of person that's capable of communicating compassionately according to the Yud Gimel Midas, which is why my Rebbe points out, very interesting, Korach is always around Rosh Chodesh Tammuz because you're about to go into 3 weeks, Chorban Abayis, then you have Elul, and then you have Yomim Noraim. So it's the time to focus on the repair, which is all about communication. So, no, you're not supposed to accept what you have, because the way that a Jew essentially works is through Avodah, Torah, and Gemilas Chasadim. That means you can pray, which Korach and Moshe were arguing. The true answer is, whatever happens, and bad things happen all the time, Our job is to turn to God and say, Tati, we need you. We need something different to actualize our potential. And we may not deserve it, because we don't deserve anything in this world. That's what Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim are all about. Chanun, Rachum v'Chanun. We don't deserve anything we get or have in life. Because we're all sinners, aren't we? I mean, we're all just human beings. But that's apparently what God wanted. That we are human beings and we learn how to communicate with our Chitzroinus. So, Noach failed to go the extra mile. And the Rebbe says here that the reason was because of his own lack of self-confidence. He figured that if he started building up the other side of how, you know, how worthy these people are, when he knew they weren't worthy, he would be considered also weighed with them, that he's not much better. And maybe he wouldn't be married to be saved either, and then there'd be no world to build from if there wasn't at least somebody left. And that was a mistake. Because again, it's the same principle. There's a Meiridik Abala Turim in Gimel Vav Shmoyt. And the Bala Turim says, very simply, that... No, it's okay. Bala Turim says very, very simply, Vayachter Moshe's Pana. He hid his face. This is the burning bush. He didn't look into the burning bush, which was Midas Elohim, it says in that passage. Vayachter, by Kaster Panim. He hid his face from looking into Elohim, the Midas Adin. Bala Turim wrote this, I think, at age 18 with no computer. And he accesses continually through the Chumash every place it appears in Chumash. Right? And so here he says it appears one more place, the word Vayaster and Eos, that Hashem hid his face from Eos, from the Amo. Right? And the Bala Turim says, unbelievable. He says that if Moshe had looked directly into the burning bush, Midas Hadin, and he had said, Tati, bring us the Geula, it would have happened instantly. And a number of places in Chumash like that, by Yitzchanan. It says Moshe could have forced HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ke'ilu, to go into Eretz Yisrael, and the Geula would have been immediately. If he had been coming from that place, that he honestly issued a tefillah. Because tefillah, we're talking, remember, tefillah, Torah, and Gemilas Chassadim. Tefillah, the main principle is that the will, and this is the last frontier, all of my work is about will. Ein davar omed lifnei haratzon. It's a question of how, though. How do you get your will to where it needs to be to achieve what you need to achieve? So, if Moshe had had the will and the peh, because we are medabrim, we're communicators, the words came from the right place in will on the same channel, no static, same frequency, same radio station, he would have gone right in. And it says, no, he didn't do that. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Eos, didn't pay attention. Amazing Bala Turim. Did Moshe fail? Chalila. Everything in retrospect is it wasn't the right time. The timing was off. Everything. Before the fact, we can never give excuses for not doing the right thing. We have to try and strive and bring our karkas to do the right thing. After the fact, it had to be that way, accept it, but go ahead. Charata in Judaism, because remember Elul's coming, is not like other belief systems pointing backwards. If it's pointing backwards, you're sad. You're violating one of the principles of healing, which is simcha. So the only way charata is useful by us is, like Rabbeinu Yonah says, to use it as an arrow pointing forward, to make resolution to do differently, do something different. That will work. So looking at that Bala Turim, what the Bala Turim is actually saying is that it wasn't the right timing, but it's telling you that was Moshe's job, which I put together with another Toldos Sodom, 150 years ago, the Toldos Sodom, who explains Lama Shalach Pani. Everybody asks the question. But Moshe Rabbeinu, most humble man in the world, turns around a guy and says, not my job, man. I'm not the right guy for the job. Should have picked somebody else. What's going on over here? Toldos Sodom says an amazing thing over here. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying there's two different kinds of tzaddikim in the world. And I'll put my own two cents in here. In our tradition, we can say one is Nachum Ish Gamzu and the other is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is called Avid Rachman Ad Latov Avid. After the fact, he turns back and says, it had to be that way. But at the time it's happening, it still looks like bad stuff to him. He has to explain the result. Nachum Ish Gamzu is right in the present moment. This is good. Right now, I see the good in it. And Moshe Rabbeinu was that kind of person. He was on the highest level. He was a Mashiach. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, I see Dothan and Aviram saying, Lashon Hara, the Jewish people need this Korah Barzel. There needs to be right now a Golus. So when he prayed, he couldn't pray. Because what did we say about praying? Praying is the will and the mouth, the word, on the same channel, no static. So that's what he was saying to God. Hashem, he said. Hashem, I can't pray. You sent the wrong tzaddik. Why didn't you send a Rabbi Akiva tzaddik who stands in the mud? He doesn't see right now how it's good. So honestly, from his heart, his words, and his will were on the same channel. Tati, we're in the boats. We need you. Come save us. With no, what we call in psychology, cognitive dissonance. No, it's not just inside. The will and the word, same channel. That's going to produce results, as any businessman knows. So Moshe was saying, why didn't you send a Rabbi Akiva Tzadi who could honestly pray for the Gula? I can't pray. I see Dothan Aviram. I say, yeah, bring the Gula, but I don't believe that because they need the Korah Barzel. I see what they're doing, how they're behaving. Because it all comes down to behavior, doesn't it? That's where our life lies, behavior and communication. So that's what's going on there. So Korach, yes, he points to why all these Yidden are involved in Zen Buddhism. Obviously, he was on much higher level. We don't understand what he was saying entirely, but we can see it. Because even Sezen has told us, Adam, in the future, it will be a Beit Shammai reality, not a Beit Hillel. Makshava, Midas Adin, will be able to be omed in Midas Adin. So everything that happens, we will be able to receive it as it is. No changing, no asking for a change. Right now, we're Beit Hillel. We're on a low level. We need to go out there and do our Hishtavos, which is in Avodah, davening, in Gemilas Chassadim, for sure, Ben Adam L'Chaveru is the main area of work today, much more than Torah even. And in Torah, excuse me for saying that, I sat many years in Lipish Yeshiva, but that's what I honestly believe. I believe what the whole problem being Makiv Mashiach is of. Not the Arabs, not this, not that. It's all about Ben Adam L'Chaveru. And that's why I'm a Biala Chassid. Because we work on Midas. It's the whole thing is about changing Midas. Okay? And that's the point. That's the point. Is that all that we do, Torah is about focus and broad vision at the same time. And my skills, what I do, I train people to develop peripheral vision at the same time as focus when I work with learning difficulties. Okay? So it's all the same story, whether you're working in Torah, Gemilas Chassadim, or Avodah. It's all about the koichos of the adam, who's sholeit, who is driving the bus here, and the how of how do we build that better. So, yeah, this whole idea of Zen Buddhism is simply, yeah, leave it up, this is the way it should be, let it go. Okay? Which has its place, but it ain't Jewish. Not in this generation. In this generation, it's about hishtadlus, which means anything you're given, you have the right and you are obligated to say, Hashem, give me better, please. Of course, it's the formula, which is Shevach Bechasha Noda, right? Like anything. You don't ask for anything until you first have gratitude, Hakar Satov. And that's the formula. But you better ask. If you don't go in that door, it ain't going to open by itself. Okay? So, it's interesting that this is really the machlokas between Korach and Moshe. And the point that we get from it is a simple one. And that is that if we want to change our communication patterns, if we want to change our, actualize our potential in any field that we're working on, we need practical focus and practical skills. These are how skills. And those skills are skills that we build by focusing on learning how to open those doors and ask in the right way and go in those doors. And that's about firstly acknowledging the reality of Perkei Avos, which says, when a person is angry, you cannot calm him down. When a person has his fresh dead lying before him, and it's halacha l'maisa, the first 3 days of avelus, you could be the closest, lower lane, the closest person in the world to that avel. Don't open your mouth until they do first. Because you don't know what effect you're going to have. You don't know what they need. And they are in turmoil. And whenever there's a negative thought or a negative feeling in a person, there's always a disruption in his energy system. Now, energy system sounds weird, but what it means is very simple. In American English, we say it very simply, I got upset! I'm upset! In Hebrew, we say he's mufra. It's a very simple point. You cannot have a negative thought or a negative feeling without a disruption going on in the physiology. If you don't attend to the form before the content, the form is I'm upset, not what I'm upset about, you will never, unfortunately, succeed. That person will not succeed in Sholem Bayis, because what happens is typically very simple. Very, very simple. A person says to the other person that they need attention, which is what we're all looking for. And the other person is caught up in their own needs and doesn't give them the attention, and then we have a conflict. And we have a communication pattern developing which is dysfunctional. Because every time the person needs this attention, the other person cuts off the attention instead of feeds into it. So that's about organizing your system to not hear that you're being criticized or judged, but to hear that the other person, when they're angry, is really in pain. And to meet that need, and that's stated a little abstractly, but it's a talik, a process that everybody realizes in their own life, that is happening every day. So we have to build those skills of first relating to the disruption and calming it down, and then relating to the content, which will be a breeze after we relate to the disruption and structural disruption. So that's what we teach. And what we're doing about it is very clear. In the last 5 years, after focusing on terror victims in the hospital, I turned my focus to what really works and how to get it out to the public. I have since been taken by a private jeep to a base within a base within a base in the south of Israel to train 300 intelligence officers. I've been in Yad Sarah with social workers for shikum, for rehabilitation, for post-stroke and other things. And I've set up courses that I'm training already more than 500 people. I recently trained in Manhattan 3 days after Pesach, where we had a psychiatrist, a clinical psychologist, and a whole bunch of people that were just normal people like you and me. And we focused on specific techniques that are all over the world having tremendous success. The parent website has 300,000 visitors every week on the email site. It's that number 6 in health websites. There's another site, Dr. Joseph Mercola, is like, I think the hottest website in health in the world. He's also expressing this technique. He wrote a book on using it for compulsive disorders and weight loss and all kinds of drives that people are not succeeding with. And there are over 100 world websites. I have 3 myself. The best one is IsraelTraumaCare.org, which has also that film on it. And we don't believe in panaceas. We do believe this technique is the best, but that's why we're broad. We've learned NLP, we've learned hypnotherapy, we've learned EFT and TAT and other things. But the basic principle is always the same. If you want to be a communicator, if you want to work with your midas, and I promise one more source, so I'm going to give it, and that is there's a Tiferes Yisroel in Kedushin, Mishnayos, that says there was a Goyish king who knew face reading, which is a science for defining character attributes of a person. I've also studied that. There's graphology for the handwriting, there's iridology for the eyes, all diagnostic stuff to just tell you what a person's personality attributes are. It's like taking an aptitude test. So this king sent out an artist, because he lived far away from Israel, and that artist went to see who Moshe Rabbeinu was, what he must look like, because he was the greatest, the king of the Jews, greatest man in the world. And the artist came back with a picture, and the king says, I'm going to kill you. I says, why? So he says, because this person, by face reading his face, is the worst of the worst. He's an adulterer, he's a thief, he's a this, he's a that. Can't be that you went and did the job. So the artist pleaded for his life and said, go check, please. The king agreed, he went personally to check, he found out that Moshe Rabbeinu looked exactly like the artist had drawn. He says, well, how can it be? So Moshe Rabbeinu turned to him and said, it's true. And there's a Gemara Meforeshet in Sukkot, right? Gadol Michavero, Gadol Yitro. He says, true, I was born with all these midas, but I worked on myself. So you see, Jews are l'mala min ha-teva. We're above nature. But we do need techniques to work with the chomer, the physical nature that we're given with. So what I'm expressing is a kivun, a direction for changing midas, is to acknowledge, first of all, the form before the content. How is my system operating? What are my own habitual programs? What is my body-mind generating that's causing me to operate in a nervous and anxious and angry way that my communication patterns could change? Because you'll never change the other person. And the more you express that you have to, and that this is your job, that they're guilty, the worse your the person's marriage, the person's business relationships will be, because the only thing we can change is ourselves, and if we do that, other people will respond and think differently in response to us. So that's our job. And the question is how? So I'm saying, please look into what I do, and I can certainly refer you to people in England that do it, and certainly you're welcome to contact Israel Trauma Care when you come to Israel. And I do come to England myself once a year, and the cards are here. You're welcome to be in contact. I thank you for letting me address you and remembering the message of Korach, which is whatever how bad it is, whatever happens, your job is to cry out, yes, I don't deserve anything, but Tati, we need it, because you came to be our father, which is to say, whatever my son does wrong, he's still my son. He still needs to evolve. He still needs to actualize his potential to be a good Jew. So give me the help, even though I don't deserve it. Thank you.